Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Exodus chapter number 2. I want to read you 2 verses, but please don't close your Bible because we're going to look at some more verses here in Exodus as we go through this morning. The Bible said this, Exodus chapter 2, verse number 11. And it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown that he went out unto his brethren and looked on their burdens, and he spied an Egyptian smiting a Hebrew, one of his brethren. And he looked this way and that way, and when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. Father, I love you this morning. I pray, God, that over the next few minutes that you'd help us today. God, you know the very need of this service, Father, and I pray, Lord, that you give us liberty, Father, as we look into your word this morning. I pray, God, that you'd bring back to our mind and our remembrance, Father, the things that we've studied this week. And God, I pray that you would help me, God, to rightly divide the word of God today. Help me to preach nothing out of context, God. I pray, Lord, that we'd get a clear understanding from your word today. God, I'm reminded of what the Bible said in Revelations. Father, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony. They loved not their lives, even unto death. And God, we plead the blood of Calvary over the service today. God, any hindrance that may be here, I pray, God, Lord, that you'd remove it. God, Father, we plead the blood of Calvary over the service. And God, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us today. God, no doubt, I really believe in all of my heart, God, that you want to help somebody this morning. God, I pray, Lord, that you'd do that. God, we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You can be seated this morning. Now, I want you to stay with me for just a few minutes in the introduction and understand where I'm coming from. I got up early Friday morning and I'd been trying to figure out something to preach on Friday there at the Yakin County Jail, and I take that just as serious as standing here and preaching here this morning. And I was trying to get my mind turned towards something to preach, and man, there just wasn't nothing coming in my mind. And I began to pray, and I said, "Now, Lord, you called me to preach." And I've got probably, honestly, thousands of outlines from over 20 years of preaching that I could have just got Brother Josh and preached one, but I didn't want that. I really wanted something from the Lord to give to those men on Friday whenever I went in there to preach. And here was the thought that came in my mind. I began to think about Moses. And I began to think about these verses right here. Moses, whenever you look at this right here, Moses becomes a murderer here in verse number 11 and 12. Moses kills a man, and he does not have the right to do that. Now, some says, and whenever you, I've really studied on this a lot over the past few days, some says that Moses was simply protecting someone else when he done this, but you got to understand the manners and customs of that time. The Egyptians had the Israelites in bondage, and they was their slaves. It was not uncommon for you to see an Israelite be or an Egyptian beating an Israelite because they was their slave. And if they was not working the way that they should have been working, that was a common thing for the Egyptian to smite the Israelite. He was not killing him that day when you study it out. He was just beating him that day, or if you want to say it this way, whooping him that day because he was not doing what he was supposed to do. And Moses gets upset because it's one of his brethren that he sees getting beat that day, and Moses makes a mistake in killing this Egyptian. Another reason I believe in all of my heart that it was a mistake is because, watch this, what did Moses do before he done it? Did you catch that? He looked both ways to see if anybody was watching him. And any time we've got to, everybody all right this morning? Any time we've got to look around us before we do something, it's a true indicator that what we're fixing to do is not right. Hey, children or young people this morning, I know the little kids are out there, but teenagers this morning, if you've got to look around before you do what you do, if you've got to cut that phone off real quick when you hear mom and daddy coming, guess what? It's probably not right. And Moses looks both ways, and then what does he do? He hides it. He takes him and he buries him in the sand. Moses makes a major mistake when we're introduced to him right here in Exodus chapter number 2. And I want to ask you a question this morning. I'm not asking you if you've ever killed anybody, but I want to ask you this question this morning. Have you ever made a mistake? Have you ever made a mistake? I said that Friday. I was Yadkin County Jail. It's got the pods, and I was standing in the middle of that pod, and they was all in their cells, and they had their little food doors open, and I hollered out, and I said, "Hey, boys, anybody ever made a mistake?" And you could hear them start laughing in there. And I used that to break the ice on Friday as I started preaching to them. And have we ever made a mistake? Well, you know what? The answer to that for every one of us sitting here today is this. Absolutely, I've made a mistake. Can I ask you this question? Have you ever made a dumb mistake? I believe we can all say, yes, I've made some dumb mistakes. Matter of fact, if old Ryan Hayes was preaching, he would say this. Have you ever made a stupid mistake? It's not stupid to him. It's stupid. I mean, it's beyond that. We've all made mistakes in our life. Every one of us sitting here this morning, no matter how close to God we are, no matter how much we're trying to live for God, no matter how much we're trying to do the will of God in our life, we find ourselves making mistakes. Have you opened your mouth when you know you should have kept it closed? Amen. Somebody help the preacher this morning. Now, men, don't be hitting your wives right now. Have you ever opened your mouth when you know it should have stayed closed? Have you ever smarted off to somebody? Have you ever sowed discord among the brethren and you knew you wasn't supposed to do that, but you done it anyway? We've all made mistakes. And you know, a lot of times when we start talking about mistakes and we start talking about sin, our mind always runs over here in left field to the quote-unquote big sins. Sin is sin. Missing the mark is missing the mark, man. Moses finds himself making a major mistake in his life. Moses finds himself making a major mistake. But let's don't leave Moses right here. Let's see what happens after this mistake in Moses' life. As we continue reading about Moses' life and what happens in Moses' life, he goes out and Moses hides himself. But Moses ends up coming in contact with a man by the name of God. Anybody ever had an encounter with him? Go with me, chapter 3, verse number 10. Chapter 3, verse number 10 says this. Come now, therefore, this is God and Moses. And go back to verse number 2. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him, being Moses, in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see the great sight by why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. Yes, Moses finds himself making a major mistake in his life, but watch this. After the mistake that Moses made, God didn't throw up his hands with Moses and say, man, I'm done with you. Moses, you should have never done that. Was Moses wrong? Absolutely, Moses was wrong. But look, God didn't put Moses on the sidelines because Moses made a mistake. Let's read on. God ends up coming to him. God talks to him. Go down to verse number 10. The Bible said this in Exodus chapter 2, verse number 10. Now therefore I will send thee unto Pharaoh, and thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Whenever you continue studying the life of Moses, and you that knows the Word of God knows this well, Moses ends up being called by God, and God has a chosen people to this day. It is the Israelites. They've always been God's chosen people, and they always will be God's chosen people. and the Israelites are in bondage and in slavery, and God is looking for somebody that can go lead His people out of bondage. And who does God find? God finds a man by the name of Moses that's sitting on the backside of the desert because he's messed up, because he's made some mistakes, and he's run from that. And God goes to the backside of the desert and finds a man that thinks that he'll never be used by God because of the mistakes that he makes. And he says, "Listen, Moses, I've got something for you to do." Moses says, "All right, what is it, Lord?" He said, "Here's what I want you to do. I want you to go to Egypt, and I want you to get my chosen people, and I want you to lead my chosen people out of Egypt." You that knows the Word of God knows that Moses ends up going to Egypt. And when he gets to Egypt, God uses him to bring the children of Israel out of Egypt's land and lead them across the Red Sea. And the great victory that God gave them that day while Moses led them out. So you said, "Preacher, why did you say all that?" I said all that to say this: Moses made a mistake, but God still used him. Go to the book of Jonah with me this morning. Jonah this morning. Jonah chapter number 1. It's right towards the end of the Old Testament. Obadiah, and then comes Jonah. Amos, Obadiah, then comes Jonah. Jonah chapter number 1. Nineveh was a city of great wickedness. Nineveh was a city of great wickedness. God was fixing to completely destroy the city of Nineveh. I hope you'll stay with me this morning. I know I don't normally turn different places like this and preach like this, but just stay with me. Nineveh was a city of great wickedness, and God needed somebody to go to Nineveh and to preach the gospel in Nineveh. Jonah chapter number 1, the Bible says this: "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." But, did you catch that in verse 3? "But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." Can I say something? We find another man in the Old Testament that makes a mistake. God calls to Jonah and says, "Hey, Jonah, I need you to go to Nineveh. I need somebody to go down there and to preach the gospel in Nineveh. I need somebody to take my word to Nineveh." And God says, "Jonah, you are the man that I'm calling to go to Nineveh." And you know what Jonah does? Jonah rises up to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. You go on to study, and the Bible says this, that he paid a ship, or he found a ship there, and he paid the fare thereof to get on that ship and to go out from the presence of the Lord. Hear me and hear me well. Anytime you're running from God, the devil will make it easy. The devil will have a boat for you to get on, but hear this, it'll cost you something to get on that boat. It did. It cost Jonah something right here. He had to pay the fare thereof. Sin will always cost you. It'll always cost you. He pays the fare thereof. He gets on the boat. He goes out from the presence of God. You that knows the Bible knows what happened. Jonah gets out in the midst of the sea on the boat, and there's a great big storm comes up, and they end up throwing Jonah overboard into the water. Goes down into the fish's belly, and a whale swallows him up. A big old fish swallows him up. And out of the belly of the whale, Jonah cries out for mercy to God. And you know what happens? God hears the prayer of Jonah after he's made a major mistake, run from the presence of God, went out, and he's not only got himself in a mess, now he's got all of the men on that boat in a mess, because now all of those are in a storm because of his mess. Isn't that usually the way it goes? All of those in the boat is on a mess because of his mess. They throw him overboard, he gets swallowed up, and the fish gets the worst stomach bug it's ever had. Wasn't the norovirus, it was the Jonavirus. And the fish pukes him up. All right, we in Logep, y'all understand, don't you? regurgitated. My daddy would say vomited. And I said, what's vomited? He said, you know what I mean. I said, what? He's a vomited. I said, what's vomited? He said, puke. That's what he done. He puked him up. He pukes him up on dry ground. Now watch chapter 3 of Jonah. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, preach to it the preaching that I bid thee. Here's another man in the Bible that we find that makes a major mistake in his life. God has something for him to do. And you know what God, what Jonah does? He runs directly away from what God wants him to do. He runs away from it. There's different speculations of why he runs away from it. I'll tell you what I think. Jonah didn't like the people of Nineveh, and Jonah didn't want the people of Nineveh getting saved. Matter of fact, chapter number 4, we'll see that. Jonah practically says that. He says, Lord, I told you you'd send revival to them if I went down there. And Jonah gets mad about it in chapter number 4, and that's a whole other message within itself. But in chapter number 3, God hears the prayer of Jonah. Hey, look, God didn't forget Jonah when he was in the mess that he was in. And you want to talk about a mess? You ever been in a fish's belly? Could you just imagine the nastiness and the odor and the mess that he was in? Not only physically, but spiritually, the mess that he's in. And what does Jonah do? Jonah runs to God and cries out of the mess that he's in. And he says, God, hey, look, I've made a mess. I've messed my life up. God could have done this. God could have let him stay dead in the fish's belly. But he said, no, I've still got something for you to do in your life. So I'm going to allow the fish to take you to dry ground and puke you out on dry ground. And I'm going to let you run into Nineveh and preach in Nineveh. And the greatest revival in the history of the world, even to this day, is right here. The whole city, the king and everybody, repent and gets right with God. And you want me to tell you who was responsible for it? Number one was God. But God had to have somebody to speak through. And it was a man that made a mistake and said, look, I'm running from God. But God brought him back. Let's look at another one. Go with me in the book of Matthew this morning. Matthew this morning. If you hadn't got the gist of what I'm trying to get you to see this morning, I'm trying to get you to see it don't matter where you've been or what you've done, that God's still got a plan for your life. And if you'll find your place on an altar this morning and say, God, here's my life. I just want to be used by you. It don't matter. It don't matter if he was a murderer. It don't matter if he was running from the... And I'm not telling you to go out and commit murder. That is not what I'm telling you to do. You know better than that. But it don't matter where we've been or what we've done. There's a God that still loves us. Listen to this statement. John chapter number 11, verse number 11. Jesus is talking about John the Baptist right here. Listen to this statement that he says. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of the women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Boy, we quote that a lot of times, and when we're talking about John the Baptist and we talk about how Jesus was so proud of John the Baptist. He says himself, that's in red, and that's Jesus talking to us. And he says himself, there's never been one greater than John the Baptist born of woman. Hey, Jesus is promoting John the Baptist. Jesus is talking about how great John the Baptist is. Would you not agree with me on that? Go back to verse number 1 of chapter 11. And it came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, John's in prison right now for preaching the gospel. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, art thou he that should come? Or do we look for another? John the Baptist doubted if Jesus was really Christ. You don't talk about a mistake. I'm talking about a man that walked with him. I'm talking about a man that knew Christ, Brother Josh, as we know each other. I'm talking about a man that knew Jesus as we know each other, that walked with him, that talked with him, that prayed with him, that went to church with him, that watched Jesus heal the sick. And you know what he says? Is that even Jesus? Is that even Christ? You see, when we find ourselves in a hard place sometimes, we'll find ourselves doubting things that we said that we would never doubt. Did John make a mistake? Absolutely, he made a mistake by doubting who Jesus was. But do you remember what I read to you? After he doubted that, after he questioned who Jesus was, it was not until after that that Jesus said, there was not one greater born of woman than John the Baptist. You say, preacher, why do you say that? Even in those times when we make mistakes, in those times when we fail God, in those times when we question what's going on in our life, Jesus still knows where we're at. And it was after that time, Brother Gray, that he said, John was the greatest that was ever born of woman. I'm talking about when we make mistakes, but Jesus looks past them. Can I show you one more and I'll be done this morning? Go with me just a few pages over in Matthew to chapter 22. I know this is different this morning, and I know I always normally preach different, not chapter 22, but chapter number 26. I hope the Lord gives you something the way he did me out of looking at these four men. When we come to Matthew chapter number 26, Jesus is just before being crucified. Jesus has got an inner circle. It's Peter, James, and John. Sometimes, and I've said this before, but sometimes people get upset because the preacher has a few that he's a little bit closer to and he leans on more than others. If you fought that, you fought Christ, because Christ had an inner circle too. And Jesus is fixing to pray in the garden right here. Let's pick up in verse number 33. Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Matter of fact, when you read it in the other Gospels, you'll find out that Peter tells Christ that he'll go with him all the way to death. He tells Jesus, he said, I'm going to go with you all the way to the cross. Let's keep reading. Verse number 34 says this, Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise said all the disciples. Peter says, hey, look, Lord. Jesus, listen to me. I'm going, another one that's been in the inner circle with Christ. Peter has saw some things that the other disciples, Peter, James, and John, saw some things that the other disciples never saw. Amen. You study me out. They saw some things that the other disciples never saw. And Peter says, hey, Lord, Jesus, I want you to understand something. I'm going with you all the way to death. When you're carrying the cross up Calvary's Hill, I'm walking beside of you. When they nail you on the cross, I'm going to be on my knees beside of you. When they stand the cross, your blood is going to drip off on me because I'm going to be there. And Jesus looks at him and says, now, Peter, you're probably going to deny me before this night's over. Peter says, Lord, I'll never do it. I'm going to death with you. Are you hearing me this morning? Jesus begins to pray. Verse number 36, then cometh Jesus with them unto the place called Gethsemane and saith unto the disciples, set ye here, I will go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful, very heavy. There's that inner circle again. They're seeing some things that none of the others ever saw. The Bible said in verse number 38, Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them, watch this, asleep. And saith unto Peter, did you catch that? He directs it to saith unto Peter, What, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. You know what he says to Peter? Peter, I've just warned you that you're probably fixing to deny me. What you need to be doing right now is on your knees praying, not sleeping. Watch this. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, Oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, Sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is not at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed. The hour is at hand. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Can I tell you something? Peter has made a mistake. God, through the incarnate Christ, has told Peter he needs to be praying. Because temptation is coming his way. And he says, the spirit indeed is willing, but your flesh is weak. That's the reason he says to make no provisions for the flesh. Why? Because it's weak. And he comes back and Peter's asleep again. He comes back the third time and he's asleep and he says, just sleep on. Just sleep on. Go with me to verse 58. They've arrested Jesus now. Verse 58 says this, but Peter followed him afar off. Just a few verses ago, Peter was right next to Jesus in a prayer meeting. Just a few hours ago, he was listening to Jesus. I hope you're getting what I'm preaching this morning. He was listening to Jesus pray. And just a few hours goes by. Boy, how quick. Jesus says, hey, look, man, your flesh is weak. You better pray. And just a few hours go. But Peter followed him afar off unto the high priest's palace and went in and sat with the servants to see the end. Just a while ago, Peter said, Lord, I'm going to go with you all the way. Now Peter's sitting afar off watching to see what's going to take place. Flip over to verse 69. I'm about done. Flip over to verse 69. Now Peter sat without the place. That's the way verse 69 starts. Now he's not even in the same place anymore. I'm talking about one of the men that's the inner circle of Christ. You see, it does matter when you start missing just a little bit. It does matter when you miss your prayer closet. It does matter when you don't read your Bible. It does matter when you're not faithful to the house of God. Because let me tell you what happens. We see it in Peter. Now Peter sat without the palace. He's not even inside watching what's going on anymore. Now he's outside. Let's read on. And a damsel came unto him saying, Thou also was with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto them that they were there. This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. He's denying Christ. Let's read the next verse. And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, Surely you also art one of them, for their speech betrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the words of Jesus, which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. Boy, you want to talk about a mistake? You don't talk about making a mistake. And now here's what we do, and come start playing softly. Here's what we do. We're not going to end there. We're going to Acts chapter number 2 to end. Let me tell you what we do. We look at Peter and we go, well, bless God, he's a heathen. He's a heathen. Denying Christ? How many times have we made the exact same mistake? I'm not saying that we curse and swear that we don't know God. But how many times have we had the opportunity to share the gospel with somebody? And we didn't. You know what we just done? We just denied Christ. I got a good friend. He's a preacher out of our church. He's also a narcotics officer. And when he first started coming, he told me, he said, the biggest challenge that I'm trying to figure out right now is now that God's called me to preach, is how am I a narcotics officer and a preacher? I said, sounds pretty interesting to me. Let me tag along and I'll see how this goes. He began praying that God would help him to do his job, but to be a Christian witness also. The other day, they was doing a deal, and he wasn't the UC, but he was going in after all of it to do the interview. And he had a shirt on it, had a big cross on it with hands raised on it. It said, Amazing Grace Baptist Church. And he said, you know what? He said, I can give them a gospel track. And I can say, hey, the life that you're living is going to take you to no end. But I can tell you about a man that loves you and a man that will change your life. He said, preacher, I figured out how I can be a preacher and a narcotics officer. And I said, that's right, brother. And I called him by name. I said, that's exactly right. We've all been at places when we could have shared Christ and we didn't. And we found ourselves in the exact same boat that Peter's in. We denied him, whether we want to admit it or not. So can I say this? Just as Moses, we messed up. Just as Jonah, we've messed up. Just as Peter, we've messed up. Just as John the Baptist, we messed up. But I want you to go to Acts chapter number 2. And I'm done this morning. Acts chapter number 2. I've not even looked at the time. Acts chapter number 2. I know you're used to an outline and used to me preaching completely different. But man, I'm just telling you, God's been stirring this in my heart. Acts chapter number 2. 53 days have passed now since Peter went out weeping bitterly. Matter of fact, Miss Dawn, some commentators that I read after and some historians say that Peter becomes suicidal after that night. But some of the other disciples kept him in tune with God during those days. He weeps bitterly. He goes out. He's denied Christ. 53 days have now passed. 53 days, Jesus is ascended back into the heavens. And it's called the day of Pentecost. Jesus is fixing to save, God through the work of the Holy Ghost is fixing to save about 3,000 souls at one time. Are you with me? 53 days have gone by now. Chapter 2, verse 14. But Peter, Fifty-three days has passed now. Let's see what's happening in the life of Peter. Boy, he's messed up, hadn't he? He's missed the mark. Let's see what's happening. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken unto my words. Peter begins preaching in verse number 14. Look in verse number 38 for the sake of time. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Look in verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day 3,000 were added unto them, or in the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and good, and parted them to all men, and every man as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Boy, 53 days made a difference, didn't it? 53 days ago, this guy says, I don't even know who he is. 53 days ago, this guy's cursing and saying, I don't know who Jesus is. I was never with Jesus. And you know what Jesus could have done that day while he was on Calvary, while he was making his way to Calvary's hill? Let me tell you what Jesus could have done that night while he was being tried and they was hollering out, crucify him, and Peter was screaming out, I don't know who that man is that you're trying. I know nothing about him. Let me tell you what Jesus could have done. Jesus could have smacked Peter down to death and condemned him right there. But you know what Jesus did? Jesus didn't smack Peter down. Jesus didn't smack Moses down. Jesus didn't smack John the Baptist down. Jesus didn't smack Jonah down. You want me to tell you what Jesus done to Peter that day? Jesus looked down through the scope of time and said, here's a man that I know that I can use. Yes, he may have made a mistake. Yes, he may have denied me. Yes, he may have missed the mark. Oh, but 53 days from now, I know what he's going to be doing. He's going to be standing in the power of the Holy Ghost of God, preaching, and revival's going to break out, and 3,000's going to get saved. You said, preacher, why did you say that? I said that to say this. You may be 53 days from the greatest accomplishment in your spiritual walk with God. You may be 53 days from it. If you'll find yourself today realizing that we've all made mistakes. Sometimes we have this attitude of, and I'm telling you, you got to be careful. You got to be careful. We see people that strung out on dope. Our county's full of it. I'm telling you, our county, if you took Narcan, I've said this before, if you take Narcan out of our county within 2 days, We wouldn't have nowhere to put the dead bodies at. I'm telling you, our county's full. It's not everywhere else. It's here. It's full of it. It's full of wickedness. It's full of vileness. It's full of ungodliness. And sometimes we think we're here and they're all there. But you hear me and you hear me well. We're one choice. We're one choice away from that. My girls are one choice away from being hooked on dope and out into this world. Every one of us is one choice away from our homes being busted up. And if we look back and we're honest within ourselves, every one of us setting this room has made mistakes. And here's what the devil will do. The devil will take those sins of our past and those mistakes of our past, and he'll magnify all of that to us. And here we'll see it not doing anything because the past has us driven down so much. John Dorsey said it the best when he said it this way. He said, what you need to do is take all your sins and put them in a wheelbarrow. And take that little wheelbarrow and roll it up here to the altar tonight or this morning and park that little wheelbarrow. and let God take His dump truck that's loaded with grace and back it up to your little wheelbarrow and dump all of His grace out all over your sins and wash them white as snow and walk out of here set free, realizing that even though we've made mistakes, God used a man that was a murderer to lead His children out of Egypt's land. God used a man that hated Nineveh to take the gospel to him and bring revival to him. God said of a man that doubted Him, there was never a greater man born of woman than John the Baptist. And God used a man by the name of Peter that cursed and denied that he ever knew Christ to preach the gospel, and 3,000 got saved in one service. If God used them, look up in here, honey, God will use you, God will use me. The question is this: are we going to let Him? Are we going to let Him? Are we going to let Him? Or are we going to let all of our past just keep holding us back? Just keep holding us back. Friday night, I took the girls and the Holder girls, and we went to the rodeo. And when you take my girls and the Holder girls, you got about 55 just right then. And then three of them thought they needed to bring boys on with them. And then the others that didn't have boys with them found a table full of boys at the Mexican restaurant in Galax and was over there trying to pick up dates to go to the rodeo. But them barrel racers come out, and I was watching them where we were sitting. I could see way back down. And they would hold those horses back. Matter of fact, there was a couple of them had another horse riding with it. And they would hold the other horse. And that horse would just be bucking. Those times they'd be standing up bucking, trying to get there. And they would turn, and as soon as they would get to that place, right before they would come into that arena, you would see them let go of it, and you would see that girl riding that horse drop the reins. And son, they would come through there wide open. There was one come out, and whenever she come out on it, I thought, she'll never make the first turn. That horse, Brother Brian, it looked like it was running 150 mile an hour when it come past us. Sure enough, it got to the first turn, and she spun out, hit the ground, and I watched that horse when it hit the ground. Its legs never stopped moving. It was continually digging. And that horse came back up, and she ended up winning like third or fourth. That horse came back up, Brother Matt, and picked right back up where it left off. Hear me. You're sitting back here holding everything back because you're afraid of what's going to happen. Let go of the reins and let God take your life and sling you out into this arena. And there will be times that you fall, but when you fall, never stop digging and get right back up, because there's a prize that's waiting for us at the judgment seat of Christ. Father.